Claptone und Heartbeat featuring Nathan Nicholson hier gerade gehört in der Morning Show am Nachmittag. Und Literatur aus Afrika nimmt zwar immer mehr Platz in den Bücherregalen, in den Läden ein, kann man glaube ich sagen. Bei den wenigsten bei uns nimmt es allerdings den Hauptteil im Bücherregal ein. Also bei mir steht Chinua Achebe, also das alte Feld, ansonsten noch ein Band nigerianische Märchen und dann hört es auch bald auf. Berührungspunkte mit afrikanischen Autorinnen und Autoren gibt's allerdings jede Menge diese Woche, denn die Deutsche Afrika-Stiftung lädt Donnerstag und Freitag dazu ein, beim Afrika-Literaturkongress im Theater im Aufbauhaus zeitgenössische afrikanische Literatur zu diskutieren. Unter anderem diskutiert da unser Jörg Petzold mit. Bei mir im Studio sind jetzt zwei Autoren aus Afrika bzw. mit afrikanischen Eltern. Elnathan John, hello.
Hi.
And Musa Ukwonga, hello.
Hello, hello. How are you?
Thanks for dropping by. I'm always saying African literature, but it's probably way too general. It's like saying European literature. You can't really say that, no? It's
exactly.
No distinction at all.
Exactly. Well, there is a general body of literature that has been classified African literature. I'm, for example, a Nigerian writer, and
yeah,
it's important for me to speak about Nigerian literature. And Nigerian literature itself is so wide that I can't even make generalizations in Nigeria.
Yeah,
there are 500
yeah.
ethnic groups in Nigeria. It's such a huge country. It's, in fact, you know, the area, for example, in the Northeast that you often hear of in the news is, for example, bigger than the nation of Israel,
yeah,
bigger than Ireland, whole countries. That's just one tiny spot.
Yeah.
So to speak of African literature is to reduce the entire continent, especially the way it is spoken of in many places, to
sure.
this one single dimensional thing.
I think the problem as well is not so much the reduction, which is a problem, but it's also the intention. So we talk about the great American novel. No one's got a problem with that because everyone's like, well, the American novel is a genre, but within that genre, you're allowed breadth. And the European literature, again, there is a certain European sensibility. That's why we have the EU. There's a sensibility. The problem is really that Africans are expected to tell a certain type of story. That's the problem. Africans can't be necessarily free, out and about teenagers who are carefree riding bikes in the dirt. You have to be, you know, oppressed, and you have to be emerging and emancipating. I think that's the challenge. As an African writer, you're expected to be telling these stories of liberation, which is very frustrating.
Or victimhood.
Well, absolutely, there's that too.
Okay, also ich habe mal gefragt, ob es afrikanische Literatur überhaupt so gibt in der Form. Und natürlich gibt es das nicht. Ist genauso blöd, wie einfach europäische Literatur zu sagen. Die beiden sagen, dass wenn man über afrikanische Literatur redet oder Leute da Erwartungen dran stellen, hat das immer irgendwas mit sich von irgendwas befreien oder ein Opfer sein oder irgendwie was zu tun. Und das ist total blöd, weil es gibt natürlich ganz viele andere Themen als... Why are you nodding your head? Are you controlling what I translate?
No, because you captured the translation so perfectly. That's all, yeah. He's nailed it. Yeah.
You said you didn't want to talk German. You can speak German. I know that.
I understand German very well, but like I don't speak as well as I understand.
We'll get to that in a second. Also es gibt ganz viele andere Themen natürlich auch noch in der afrikanischen Literatur. Elnathan hat auch gesagt, also selbst in Nigeria, da gibt es schon so viele verschiedene Leute und so viele verschiedene Kulturen, die schreiben schon so viele verschiedene Bücher. Das kann man nicht mal generell. But if you would have to generalize something apart from like the uprising or the liberation or being a victim of something, is there at least a certain atmosphere, not motifs or something that would unite African literature? Or couldn't you say even that? Because we were thinking about this, like if you take European literature, it always has to do something like with families or with society.
I think there's a frankness. I think that the nature of what Africans have experienced as a continent, both internally and externally, the pressures, the African writers I'm seeing are very bold in their voice,
yeah,
uncompromising. I'm not saying that they're not so subtle or gentle with implication like Isiguro. I'm saying that they happen to say they're going to absolutely say it.
Yeah.
So some of the African literature you're going to see is so adventurous, it's so bold, and I think that's the one thing that unites everything. These writers, this generation, are very expressive and very proud of what they're saying, I think.
Also, I think that increasingly African writers are breaking the mold.
Mm-hmm.
So the mold that has been set for them to write this or that, they're breaking it. And what they're doing is that some are gravitating toward personal stories as opposed to the big political stories that the Achebes and the Soyinkas wrote, for example. People are becoming, as he said, more adventurous. They're writing about the personal story. They're writing about depression. They're writing about race. They're writing about personal family life, love and romance and all of that.
Yeah.
And that body of literature is growing. So there's an evolution that's happening, especially, and I always want to say, when you talk of African literature in Africa, we are talking about literature in Africa in English. There is a whole body of literature that are in other languages, in Hausa, in Swahili. That's a whole different conversation. So I always want to remind people that we're not limiting this literature conversation to literature in English.
Yeah.
But that's what we're talking about now, literature in English.
Yes. Also wenn wir über afrikanische Literatur reden, dann, so sagt zumindest Elnathan, dann reden wir über afrikanische Literatur auf Englisch. Allerdings Musa hat auch gesagt, dass wenn afrikanische Autoren was gemeinsam haben, ist, dass sie relativ direkt schreiben, sehr, sehr roh schreiben und kein Blatt vor den Mund nehmen. Also das könnte man auf jeden Fall so ein bisschen zusammenfassen. For this event that happens on Thursday and Friday again, there has to be this thing, ne, that you put it under the roof of literature from Africa, even if you don't want to call it African literature, which is a different thing, ne, than to put it under that roof. Is it still important to make it visible as such if you go outside of Africa, though?
Well, so that...
Is it easier to get people connected
with it? Yeah, it's a double-edged sword. Yeah. On the one hand, it's important to tell people what you are doing. That, look, this is literature from the continent. We are not ashamed to be from the continent. We are not ashamed to be writing about the continent. However, we are not limited by these borders in the same way that people are not limited in other places by their borders. And so, yes, for certain limited purposes, it's important to say, look, we are not just discussing literature. We're discussing literature by certain people. Literature that you're not used to seeing in a place like Germany. Literature that is not just American writers or it's like writers of color, writers from different various backgrounds, you know. So,
yes.
So come and expect to hear literature that is...
You know what it's like? It's like whenever you have a new genre of music like grunge or techno, if it's a new genre, you're introducing something new to people and they can't relate to it instinctively. So what you do is you get all the bands together, completely different sound. Techno's got so many different sounds. Look at grunge before you had, like, you know, Sonic Youth, Soundgarden. You get them all to perform together or do the same stuff, and then naturally people get into it and then branch out by themselves.
Yeah.
And then there's enough for everyone to eat, and that's the idea. So you kind of start collectively and then branch out as time goes on.
Okay, also um die Literatur sichtbar zu machen, ist es manchmal wichtig, sie tatsächlich unter dieses Dach zu packen, also Literatur aus Afrika. Das ist das, was Donnerstag und Freitag passieren wird. Da startet nämlich der Afrika-Literaturkongress im Theater im Aufbauhaus. Und bei mir im Studio sind Elnathan John und Musa Okwonga. Die beiden bleiben noch ein bisschen hier. Wir hören ein bisschen Musik und danach werden wir dann auch ein bisschen persönlicher. We were talking very general, but like after the music, we'll talk a little bit more personal about what you're actually about as authors, because you both write literature. Hier in der Morning Show am Nachmittag auf Flux FM. Bei mir im Studio sind zwei Autoren aus Afrika, Elnathan John und Musa Okwonga. Isn't it really great planning that we're talking about literature from Africa and we're playing a song called America?
It's amazing.
That's really good thinking. No.
Global Radio.
Hooray for us. Beides sind Autoren afrikanischer Herkunft und dabei beim Afrika-Literaturkongress im Theater im Aufbauhaus Donnerstag und Freitag. Wir haben gerade schon mal festgestellt, man sollte natürlich nicht generalisieren, was die Literatur betrifft aus Afrika, aber manchmal ist es doch wichtig, sie auf diese Weise sichtbar zu machen. Musa, you write many commentaries for big newspapers, columns in a way on a variety of topics, but when you write books, you like to write about football.
That's right. Football was my first love. Yeah, absolutely.
What's up with that?
I've always had football. My family's a passion. So my granddad actually managed the Uganda national team for several years. And
really?
Yep. And my first two books are about football. Then I did a book of poetry as well. But it's just always been a passion. So I cover Manchester United for ESPN, and I write about culture and tech and a bit of football for The Economist as well, and sometimes The World Service. But my main passion is football.
Really. It's football. Yep. Okay. When you your family is originally from Uganda.
That's right.
Isn't it? Yes. Yep. But you were born in London.
Born in London, yeah.
When you go back, are you still considered in a way an author of African literature, or are you not?
I haven't been back for 16 years, so I'm kind of a member of the diaspora very much. And yeah, I'm seen as a social commentator, poet. And I think there's a kind of a recognition of what I do in a sort of small sense, and there's a respect for that. But I think I'm seen very much as a kind of, you know, African, European.
Yeah. Is that voice appreciated, or is it sometimes seen as, oh, there's this British kid?
No, I think actually, if I'm honest, I think people appreciate it, because there's sometimes there's things you can say from outside the country. For example, things about politics or homophobia or presidents. So I've noticed that, for example, a lot of high profile Ugandan journalists will share my work about the election, about Joseph Kony, about, you know, Law of Resistance Army, because I think they feel he can say stuff from outside that we can't necessarily say from inside the country.
Okay, also Musa sagt, er ist eigentlich in London geboren, seine Familie kommt aber aus Uganda, er ist nicht ganz so oft da, aber wenn er da ist, dann schätzt man seine Stimme als eine Stimme, die auch mal auf irgendwas drauf guckt, einen guten Kommentar zu etwas ab, etwas so ein bisschen aus der Distanz auch bewerten kann und ist da auch gern gehört und akzeptiert. Musa, if you would write like a fiction book, like a classic novel that you would give also an African theme, what is there something that should be written about, especially by an author of African descent? Is there largely unexplored?
Sci-fi.
African sci-fi.
Yes.
Sci-fi. Does it exist though?
Yes, Octavia Butler. Octavia Butler is outstanding. There are great writers out there. She's one of the forerunners. But I would write that because I feel like, you know, my experience as an African European or Ugandan European, I feel like I'm other, I'm an outsider, so I'd like to combine that feeling of otherness yes. with the sci-fi, because I love sci-fi, I love Star Wars, who doesn't? I love, you know, yeah. these great narratives. So
I love time travel.
Yeah, oh, well, don't get started. Yeah.
I even like that movie with Sandra Bullock, Keanu Reeves, and The Mailbox.
Which one was that?
Oh, they can communicate through a mailbox.
Okay, I need to get on that. Yeah.
They're like five years apart or something.
I want to write the African version of that. Yeah, I want to write the African version of that.
There is a book actually about Lagos sci-fi, actually. Sci-fi speculative fiction that was published recently. I can't remember who the publishers are. But it's about Lagos and it's pure sci-fi. It was published, I think, last year. So yeah, I mean, it's one major innovation in the area of sci-fi in Nigeria.
I love stuff like that. Yeah, that's my
Plus, there are a lot of people writing speculative fiction anyway.
I love
there
that word.
There is Nnedi Okorafor. Nnedi Okorafor she lives in the US, but she's a Nigerian writer who writes speculative fiction, science fiction. And she's had 2-3 books and she's been doing it for many years. So we have...
It's a lot of
And this
stuff,
is just Nigeria. We have lots and lots of African sci-fi. In fact, I'm trying my hands on something as a new project somewhere in the realm of speculative fiction.
I love that term. I've never heard that before. Speculative fiction. That's awesome. Great. Also ich habe mal gefragt, also wenn irgendwas noch fehlt oder besser ausgebaut werden könnte in der Literatur aus Afrika, dann ist es auf jeden Fall Sci-Fi, sagen die beiden, beziehungsweise spekulative Literatur. Ganz, ganz tolles Wort. Alison, you're actually a lawyer or you studied law and you've worked as a lawyer too. And was it something that maybe your family said, like, learned something real before you turned to the arts?
Well, actually, my father didn't want me to be a lawyer.
He wanted you to be an author.
He actually wanted me to study business or economics or something. Because he said to me, you know, only rich kids study law. Mm-hmm. This is Nigeria. You will end up spending 10 years working for some bigger lawyer and you'll be poor for the next 15 years. And, you know, so he said, look, go study something that's reasonable, you know where what your roots are and be sensible. But, you know, I've always been a bit of a rebel and I decided to be a lawyer, you know, against that general advice. I mean, there wasn't anything forced, but he just advised and said, look, you know, you kids of poor people, don't go and study law, because kids of lawyers become lawyers and they go mm-hmm. into their parents' chambers and they become successful and you think that's what law is. But go around and see all these poor lawyers walking in the streets. So yeah, but I decided to become a lawyer. But then, of course, ultimately I realized that it wasn't what I wanted to do.
It's a lot of dry text now.
Yes. Also, it's a lot of... There's a lot of silence uh-huh. between action. And so you start out as a lawyer, especially in Nigeria, and there's a lot of delays. The court system is very slow. Justice itself is very funny, you know, because there's 200 cases, you know, 100 cases that say X and 100 cases that say Y. And, you know, it's there's so many loopholes. And so I was not ready for all of that. I started practicing law. I practiced for 2 years, actually. And Musa is also a lawyer.
Yeah, I was a lawyer as well.
You're a lawyer as well.
Yeah.
Were you a football lawyer?
No, I was a corporate lawyer.
No way, really?
Yeah, I did law university. I qualified as a lawyer and I did it for a few months, not as long as he did. But yeah, I did it for different reasons. I did it because I knew one day I'd be a writer and I needed to have a fallback. Yeah. So I thought, let me get, because that way no one can ever like disrespect you. It's like, you're a lawyer, then, you know, you can do whatever you like after that.
Ja. Also die beiden haben erzählt, sie sind beide Anwälte. Ich wusste eigentlich nur, dass Elnathan ein Anwalt war. Und da muss er schon sehr, sehr viele trockene Texte wahrscheinlich lesen. Und ein bisschen auch zur Abwechslung hat er sich dann zur Literatur dann halt gewandt und macht jetzt etwas, das ein bisschen bunter ist. Musa fasst sich gerade an den Hals, als wenn er erwürgt wird von den Texten im Nachhinein. Musa, you're also one of the organizers of the African Literature Congress here. Was it really hard to put together a program when you have like that much to choose from?
Well, no, because when you've got geniuses living in town like Elnathan, it's very easy. We got Taya Selassie here. She's a genius. We've got Elnathan. He's a genius. And then you've got Steffi, who's brilliant. She's a genius in her own way, organizing the festival. She puts on a great show. So always a question of just you email a few people, get them down, send the email on Facebook, and then everyone comes down. So it wasn't as difficult as it sounds. And I think we've got a great lineup. Yeah. We've got an amazing lineup, and I'm really looking forward to it.
Okay, also am Donnerstag und am Freitag, da gibt es den Afrika-Literaturkongress im Theater im Aufbauhaus. Mehr Infos dazu gibt es auf tak-berlin.de, also tak-berlin.de. Und wenn ihr da hin wollt, am Freitag ist der Eintritt bei den Panels frei. Da trefft ihr dann auch Elnathan John und Musa Okwonga, die ihr gerade hier gehört habt. Übermorgen beim Literaturquartett, da kostet der Eintritt eigentlich 8 Euro. Wir haben aber ein paar Gästelistenplätze für euch unter 030 2000 9000. 030 2000 9000, wenn ihr da hingehen wollt. Thanks for being on the show. Have fun at the Congress. And come back again soon.
Thank you so much. Love
to. Bye-bye.
Cheers.